Welcome to the Money, Motivation, and More podcast. My name is Robert Cheniak, and I'm the author of the international bestseller, Rich is a State of Mind. This episode is entitled, Living Within Your Means, and it's a conversation between financial expert Bruce Sellery and myself about The Power of Saying No, which aired originally on Sirius XM Radio on the show Canada Talks. I'm hoping you enjoy it.
If there is one mantra that most personal finance experts can agree on, it is live within your means. But there are so many exceedingly strong forces pulling at you to part with your hard-earned cash. What can you do about it? Well, you can say no, of course, but no is no easy task. Robert Cheniak has some ideas to make no your new magic word. He is the author of Rich is a State of Mind. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for letting me be here, Bruce.
No, 1,000 times no. Why is no so important to getting a handle on your money?
No is one of the most important words you will ever use in terms of getting control of your finances. That said, it's also one of the hardest ones to use because, quite frankly, for most people, Bruce, it's a four-letter word, even though it only has two.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why is it so hard? Can we blame it on the magic of the marketers who have used behavioral psychology to make us default to yes when it comes to spending money?
I think Madison Avenue and marketing agencies have done an amazing job at getting us to want everything. And as a society, we have lost track of the difference between the word want and the word need, such that we've blended them so that everything is want, nothing is simply need.
Right. They're synonymous now. I need everything.
They are.
And now.
I got a prime example of this on the weekend. I was in Staples, right across the street from where I live, and a parent was having a conversation with their teenager about a backpack. And the parent was going, you can have A or you can have B.
Right.
To which the teenager pulled down option C and said, but I want this one. Mm. And much to my surprise, the parent looked them directly in the eye and said, I don't care what you want.
Nice. Parenting award goes to
you can have A or you can have B because either of these will fulfill your need. I'm not interested in your want.
How do you practice? I love the kid example. And one thing we do with Abby, who's 7, is browsing without buying. So we've done this since she was a baby. We go to the mall intentionally so that she is used to being in stores without always getting something. But how do you recommend adults? Their habits are largely formed.
Our habits are formed. They're hard to break. But once we start to determine the things that are truly important to us in life, the big picture items, that's why I'm a big proponent of goal setting and vision boarding and creating that image that you're trying to chase. When you can get focused on that, the little things start to go away, and then we determine that need becomes more important than want.
There are things that you can say no to, like buying a new car. So I'm going to say no to that. I'm going to say no to going to the food court. But you have to be conscious of what you're paying. And there are some categories of our financial life in which we aren't conscious. We're completely oblivious. Like, for example, a mortgage. Once every 5 years, we go and get a price on it, or investing fees. We don't have that. Most Canadians have absolutely no clue what they're paying on investing. How does no apply where we aren't conscious about the money that we're spending?
In the not conscious area, particularly as it relates to those big ticket items, cars, mortgages, we have the ability to research. Everything is available to us online as long as we're willing to spend the time looking for it. The biggest impediment, I think, to most people, which I think you'd agree, Bruce, is we have too much house, too much car, and too much debt because it is so simple to do all three of these things today. And when you don't buy the new car, you buy a terrific used car. We somehow are looked at by our friends like, well, you couldn't afford a new car. No, I could afford a new car. I chose to buy the used one.
Right. Do you actually deal with that? Do your friends actually raise an eyebrow?
All the time.
Really?
All
I think you need new friends.
I used to get ridiculed, but
I was able to get around it because I drove a 1997 Honda CRV, and people would make judgers and comments about it. But I'd say, I'm a personal finance expert. This is like a badge of honor here that I've got this car.
I drove my 1995 Grand Prix up to 408,000 kilometers, and the only reason I'm still not driving it today is because the transmission went. And when I bought – a used car. Friends of mine said, why, you can afford a better car. I said, yes, I can afford a better car. Cars are not my thing.
Right.
I'm all about the experiences.
Right.
And the great thing about experiences are experiences enrich your life. Items and goods that are finite, even though you can hold them, you like them for a little bit, and then they lose their luster. But the memories you create by buying experiences last you a lifetime.
I want to come back to this investing fees thing. And we talk about it a lot on the show in that CRM2 is rolling out. People are much more aware about what they're paying than ever before. But this is an unconscious category. So people had no idea what they were paying. And then now on their statement, they'll be able to see what that number is. How do people say no to something that for many of them, they didn't even realize they were paying for?
They have a couple of options, Bruce. One, they can say no by changing advisor. They can have that angry conversation when they see their first CRM2-enabled statement, slam it down on the advisor's desk and go, we're done. I had no idea this is what it cost me. There are a segment, I think, of really exceptional advisors out there. They've had this conversation for a long time.
Already, and they're not fussed about having it.
Those clients will not be in that state of shock that I think a significant number will. They can choose to do it themselves, which I'm not entirely a proponent of. They can go the robo-advisor route, which they get some advice and a little bit of help in some automated services. Or you can, as people have found out with mortgages over the last half decade, you can negotiate a lot of things in life. And my guess is you will see financial services fees come down because people will attempt to, and in many cases successfully, negotiate them.
A subscription to something is an automated yes. You know, like you made the yes and then it just keeps coming in. And if you look at your credit card statement or your bank statement, you see the spending that you were making. So if you've got automated yes, how do you automate for no instead?
One of the great ways to do that is to change your credit card, because most of those automated yeses are tied to a credit card number. And if you decide to get rid of those automated yeses by going to a different account number, then all of a sudden what happens is the automations start failing. They'll contact you. And when they contact you, then you get to make the conscious decision, you know, that subscription really isn't working for me anymore. And I know that sounds like a lot of work in order to do that, but it really isn't that hard.
Right. And it's behaviorally, it's much easier. Now, there are implications to just switching your credit card. You don't necessarily want to.
And trust me, it's a pain. Because I, probably like yourself, Bruce, we have lots of things tied to the card. The 407 statement, our cable bill, our cell phone bill. And when you have to start changing it, and you know what it's like, you get a new card, the expiry date changes. Oh, crap. Now I've got to make 22 phone calls in order to do that.
Not as bad as an address change. An address change is truly the worst.
It truly is.
Never move again.
But at least on an address change, you can get Canada Post to reroute your mail.
Yeah, for a year, but you still have to change it eventually.
There's nobody out there willing to reroute your credit card number for you.
So coming back to your social circle, how do you handle those conversations, or maybe their looks, their comments, they're not even conversations, around things that you have chosen to say no to?
Because my friends know me in many cases for a long period of time, as you have, it's great to look at them, smile, a little bit of a grin, knowing that, A, they're kind of in jest, giving you a couple of jabs anyways, but something, and I try to live my life by this, although I'm not always successful, is the motto that make the decisions to live the life you want today so that tomorrow you can live the life that most of your friends won't be able to.
What does that mean? Tell me more about what that means.
Making decisions today, everybody has the concept of fear of missing out. And fear of missing out is, I didn't get to go to the big concert. I didn't get to go to the latest Broadway show. And by making the decisions not to do those things today, some simple little things, using the word no to get a handle on your finances, 10, 15 years from now, you'll have the opportunity to do pretty much everything you want if you manage your money well today.
Bob Gignac, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Bob's the author of Rich is a State of Mind. And everyone out there listening, I want you to take this on. No, niet, non. Try it. See how it works.
What you've just been listening to is a conversation between financial expert Bruce Sellery and myself about the power of saying no and living within your means. This has been the Money Motivation and More podcast. My name is Robert Geniak. If you'd like to pop over to iTunes and give us a review or drop me a note on robertgeniak.com and let me know what you think, if that's where you're listening to the podcast, it would be much appreciated. Until next time, thank you for listening.